So the question this morning is, do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to be made well? In the Gospel of John, we've looked at people who came to Jesus, some religious people who came to Jesus with lots of questions in their hearts. Our friend Nicodemus. We also have this image of Jesus going way out of his way into where he should not have been to touch this lady who was really an outcast in her own society and shouldn't have been, Jesus shouldn't have been within 10 square miles of her. And today, Jesus comes to this paralytic man who was in a convalescent kind of sinner, if you will, there in Jerusalem, and he asked the question, and it seems almost rhetorical, you know, do you want to get well, or do you want to continue on just like you are because you're comfortable, because change can be fearful, and change may put responsibility on us that we would really not rather have, or are you happy just the way you are? Do we want to follow Christ with all our heart? Are we happy just the way we are? Do we really want to be healed? Do we really want to be well? And are we committed enough to make the changes necessary to be well? So Jesus's question is really probing. Do you want to be made well? It was on a sacred day that the healing of the paralytic at the Pool of Bethesda happened. It was a Jewish festival, so it was a Sabbath during a Jewish festival, and so it was a very, very, very sacred day. And Jesus could have been hanging out with the wealthy, the mighty, the very religious, the elite of society, but he went to the weak. He went down to where the people who needed a lot of help were. He went down from the Temple Mount down to the Pool of Bethesda, where the weak, the lame, and the sick would be. It was down by the sheep gate where the sheep would come into Jerusalem and where the lambs probably that were sacrificed would come through that way. I had the privilege of being there, and one thing about it is they talk about this in the Bible, and then archaeology has uncovered it and discovered it over the last 20 years, and they've dug up the Pool of Bethesda and the columns and where the porches would be, and everything is all there, and you can see it with your own eyes that the Bible was telling the truth about this, like the Bible does tell the truth about things. And so the archaeology just proved it. And there is this beautiful church there. It's called St. Anne's. And it's sort of an echo chamber. And it's where you can go in and people sing in there. And the guy guiding our tour told me to have this group sing in there. And I shouldn't have, because it was a joyful noise, but it was not a beautiful sound in a beautiful church. But that St. Anne sits right there, and it's a gorgeous place. And what archaeology has discovered is just proof that this pool existed. It existed where the Bible said it existed, and the columns are there, and you can see how it was put together. And this man had been in this convalescent center for 38 years. That's a long time. He had been there on his mat, and Jesus came with empathy and compassion down from the temple, and he came to this one man. This one man who wasn't asking to be healed. He wasn't saying, "Hey, Jesus, over here." He was just sitting on his mat. He didn't go to Jesus to be healed. Obviously, he was a paralytic. One man was sitting among many who needed help. Why? Why him? Why just one? We'll never be able to answer that question. Yet Jesus touched one for a particular purpose. To answer a particular question, to start a particular conversation. And Jesus performed a miraculous thing. he performed a miraculous sign to the man. He asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" Not everyone who is sick wants to be healed. Not everybody who is sick wants to get better. Not everybody who's addicted really wants to change. Not everyone who is fearful really wants to be faith-filled. Not everyone who is anxious about life really wants to have a trusting relationship with God. Sometimes we wish to hold on to those things that hold us back and keep us confined on our mat. And Jesus says, "Do you really want to be healed?" Sometimes people want sorrow. They want empathy. They want sympathy for the challenge they faced over and over and over again, but they have never really wanted to pick up their mat and move on and not been willing to make the changes, to make have the faith to move forward in life. And there is one thing that precedes everything in this is, do you want to? Do you want to be well? That is the big question to all of us. Do you want to be like Jesus Christ? Do you want to be his hands extended in this world? Do you really want to? We can have all kind of how-tos. But until we want to, the how-tos will never be applied to life. Hypothetical situation, a counselor can tell you all the how-tos to save your marriage. But if you don't want to, all the books of how-tos will never help you. The want-to must precede the how-to. I always talk about getting thinner. It's obvious I don't want to. Those Edo diets and all those things, you know, I have an Eto's diet that I'm following. It's Doritos, burritos, Cheetos. You like my diet plan? You can join it. It's real easy. It's real easy, you know? So unless I really want to, all the how-tos won't do me any good. Do you really want to be like Jesus? Do we really want to be like him? What's broken in your life? Do you really want it healed? Do you really want to change? The man at the pool said, "My life is terrible. My life's awful." He had no redemption story. He had a victim story. He said, "My life is awful because nobody else will help me get in that pool when it bubbles and I can get healed. I'm never the first one in." What he's saying between the lines is, "I'm just complaining. 38 years has become routine. Maybe I tried really hard for the first few years, but I've just given up and I'm just happy to be here on this mat and I'm just going to live it out the way it is." And Jesus went to him, and I wonder, why would he go to him? Why not go to somebody full of faith, somebody reaching out, somebody believing that you are the Messiah, the Son of God? Instead, he goes to this guy, this guy. Sometimes people do choose a miserable life over a better life. They prefer the cycles that they are in, and they continue in them rather than change them. They prefer the miserable rather than the better. They like the tragic story of their life rather than the redemptive story of their life that could be. Jesus comes to us and he has faith in us and he reaches out to us and he comes from heaven to earth to us and we struggle to have faith in him. He tries to lift us up and sometimes we just like to push down on that. We just aren't sure sometimes that God really knows best, right? Father knows best, but maybe not God. He just doesn't really know best. Jesus later sees the man and he says, sin no more. Jesus said, get up off your mat. He says this to this faithless, negative man. That's not my prescription for healing. If you came to me and says, what should I do to be healed? Have faith in God. Look optimistically. Look upward. Don't look down at the problem. Yeah, this man was looking down at his mat. He was looking down. He was negative and he was faithless. And God chose him out of the hundreds or thousands that may have been there who really needed help from God. God instantly heals the man. Instantly, in a moment like that. Oh, I love instant things, don't you? I had instant oatmeal this morning. It was great, you know? It just put it in there, it got it. It's great. Instant things. We always like instant things from God, don't we? Pray the prayer, it happens. Boom, 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 boom. But most of the time, I have found that God works in a progressive pattern. Sometimes there are instant things that happen in our life, but most often, he works in a progressive pattern. I have seen people that were addicted to alcohol or to drugs be instantly delivered from that challenge and never struggled. But most often, it is a progressive work that needs lots of energy and lots of time from that individual with the support of people around them. Any addiction seems to be that way. Do you want to get well this morning? Do you want to change? Do you want to stay on your mat? God instantly heals and he progressively heals, but we have to want to be well. Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. It happened in an instant. And he took up his mat and he started walking. The bed that had confined him, now he was carrying it. It was still a part of his story. It was still something he had with him. It was confining him before, and now he was controlling it, and he was in control of it. Always remember that your redemptive story is a part of your life, and don't hide it. Sometimes we come to Christ, and we have this history of the past, and we go, oh, I need not to tell anybody about that. That was a bad, ugly spot in my life or something, and God redeems you, and God pulls you in. But this man was carrying his mat. This was a part of his story. And when you share the redemptive part of your story that God healed me and God put me back together and I was addicted and now I'm not. I used to do this and now I don't do that because I am not living in the tragedy of my life. I am living in the redemptive life that Christ has given me. But it was always a part of his story. He was carrying it under his arm. It was no longer confining him. But he was using it for the glory of God, at least to create a conversation that Christ evidently had ordained at this point. It was this Sabbath day. Now, the Sabbath day among the Jews was Sabbath for rest and Sabbath for worship. And Jesus had healed somebody on that day, and here was this guy carrying his redemptive story under his arm, and the religious leaders who were more interested in the law than in redemption and healing and restoration came to him and says, you can't carry your mat. You're breaking the law. Whoa, that's just so foreign to us, isn't it? You can't carry your mat in the temple here. This is the celebration. This is Sabbath. You can't carry it. You can't carry it. You can't pick it up. Now, there are principles that God gave us, and certainly God gave us the principle of the Sabbath. Make time in your life for rest and make time for worship. Don't ever let those things get away from you, and that is the principle of the Sabbath. But yet, often we have human methods that come into how we live that out. And the methods sometimes become the law. And we are judged on the methods rather than on the principle, aren't we? Sometimes we apply this and that and this and that and this and that and this and that. But those are methods, and there's methods of men. But there are principles of God. And God's principles are consistent and never change, but the methods of men continue to change. They have continued to change throughout history of how we demonstrate that we celebrate the Sabbath. Cling to God's principles and be relaxed about people's methods, right? Cling to God's principles and be relaxed about people's methods. Most of the time, we take God's principles and apply it to our methods, and we make it law. Here's a principle. God tells us that we should educate our children, train up a child in the way it should go, and it won't depart from that. You know, we train up a child. We educate our children. But there are all kinds of ways to educate your children, right? You could go to public education, and that's all available to us, thank God. You can go to a charter school. You can make that choice. You can go to Christian schools. You can do that. You can go to homeschool. Those are all methods of education in our world today and all very acceptable. Now, some folks would argue for one passionately. Other folks will argue for the other passionately sometimes. Those are methods. Those are not principles. God says, parents, you're in charge of your children's education. Take it seriously. Make the best choices for that child for this year. And that may change as time goes on. That's the principle. The methods may change. The Jewish leaders come to the man and say, you can't do that. You can't carry this mat. It's illegal on the Sabbath. And the man, he was so full of faith. He was a negative Nelly, is what he was. And he says,
well, the man who healed me told me to pick it up. People wouldn't put me for 38 years. I couldn't get in the pool because nobody would come and help me. And now I'm carrying this, and he told me to pick it up and walk. I just did what the guy who healed me said to do.
Well, who was that guy?
I don't know. I didn't get his name. I didn't take a selfie. I didn't get his phone number. I didn't bother to thank him. I don't even know his name. I don't know who he was, whatever.
What an ungrateful person. You've been on a mat for 38 years, and now you are walking freely, and there is no gratitude. There is no celebration or enjoyment of my wellness. You know, did he want to be well? It's a great question. Isn't it? I think suffering comes in different ways, right? There is this sin of Adam and Eve that brought sickness into our world, and there is no cause and effect for it. There is a sickness unto death, and after that, the judgment, right? That's a promise of God, just as much as all the other promises of God. It is there. Sin came into the world, and so death is there with us. We can't explain it. It's not because we're good or bad or anything else. It's just the world that's captured in the sin and under the curse. Sometimes we're a victim in our suffering, aren't we? Sometimes a drunk driver hits somebody we love and they're impaired for the rest of their life. That's hard to see. Sometimes parents have abused or someone has abused you and you lived with those scars for the rest of your life. You are hurt by them. We're very aware of gun violence now and people who are victims of gun violence and hurt and pain. We're victims sometimes. That brings great pain into our lives. There is also spiritual activity, and spiritual activity is always a little more vague because we can't put our minds around spiritual activity because sometimes it defies logic. And yet, in the scriptures, we would see that in Matthew 8, Jesus healed people who were possessed by demons, and he also healed people who were sick. Sometimes there is spiritual activity that makes us sick. Our resistance and rebellion against God, our moving away from him, can make us sick, and Jesus healed in that case. And sometimes, and most often is the case, we hurt ourselves. We make decisions today that will impair us in the future, will be destructive to us in the future, relationally, with our career, with our education, whatever it may be. We make decisions that will bring us current pain, and we really struggle to embrace those things. Maybe that was the man's case here who was at the pool. Maybe his behaviors had been very self-destructive. Maybe he was drinking himself to death. Maybe he was living a hard, reckless life before something happened and he ended up there at the pool for 38 years. Maybe it was just his rebellion against God that got him there. And Jesus says to him when he comes in contact with him again in the temple, he says, "Don't sin anymore." From "do you want to get well" to "don't sin anymore." Do you want to get well? Jesus had compassion, and he has compassion on us at all levels of our hurtful pain. He doesn't just go to those who are really reaching out and looking for him. He goes to those who have no idea of who he is or where he is or why he's there. People who are negative and faithless, God still comes and finds them in a moment. The man had sinned. That's one thing we can take into our thoughts as we walk through this story. How many people does God help and they choose to go back to their sin? They had picked up their mat at once and they started moving away from that spot, but they cycle back around and all of a sudden pull out the mat, put it back down and sit back down on it and become dependent again. Sometimes we need to get up and in faith get going. Leave the sickness behind and don't look back. It was Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot and his wife left Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord said, "Don't look back." And Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Don't look back on the thing God calls you out of. And God may be speaking to your heart right now of things he's calling you out of. Out of fear, out of faithlessness, out of addiction, out of relational chaos. And he's speaking to your heart and he says, come out of it and don't go back to it. Sometimes people go back to abusive relationships. Sometimes people come out of financial holes in their life and they begin to be financially irresponsible again. Sometimes people have fear and anxiety in their life and they begin a process of moving out of that and then they go back to it. Other people have relationships and they have a relationship and they get out of that bad relationship and they start messing around with another relationship that's the same one that they got out of, and they circle through divorce court and they're going right back to divorce court, and they keep circling around and around because they go back to the same mat and they sit there. Sometimes we reject God and we move away from him, and we don't go away from the place where the mat was, but we return back to it. You can't have a redemptive story if you just love your tragic story. If you love telling your tragic story so much that you don't want a redemptive story to mess that up. But a redemptive story framed by your tragic story is powerful and can be used by God. What do you need to walk away from today? What do you need to embrace today? What is the future destiny that God is calling you to? And what is he calling you away from that you might be like him? Do you want to be well? God says, get up and walk. Have hope in God and in God alone. Have trust in God and in God alone. Move forward and don't go back. Move forward and don't go back. God comes out of his way to find us. And he found you right where you are today. He found me right where I am. And he speaks to us. And he says, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? Then let's take up our mat. Let's have faith in God. And let's walk forward. And God will use our tragic story and our redemptive story to bring honor to his name. If you need to be well emotionally, physically, or spiritually today, I point you to the cross of Jesus Christ. For it was on the cross that he provided everything that we will ever need. Our forgiveness. Through his stripes, we are healed spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. It is through his suffering that we come to life, and not just living, but life more abundantly, because we have purpose and we have meaning. Don't stay on the mat. Accept Jesus today. Pick up the mat and walk forward, and don't look back. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness to us and your grace, and that sometimes when we were faithless, you still came to us. When we were fearful, you still came to us. And when we were sick and weak, you came to us out of compassion and empathy. And you came a long distance to us, oh God. And you didn't hold back anything. But you gave us the greatest treasure of heaven that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Today, I pray that there will be a desire in all of us to be well, to be healed, to carry the message of God's truth into this world. And we pray that in Christ's name. Maybe today you've never accepted Jesus. You've never said, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I encourage you. Talk to him and make that step of faith across the threshold of faith and believe in Jesus today. Ask him to come into your heart. Tell him you want to be well and let him start his redemptive work in you. Sometimes it happens instantaneously. Most often, it's a process. He's still working on me.